Well, please sit down. And we're going to be having a look at that Psalm 116 on page 625. You might like to turn it up as we look at it together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your word. We thank you for this day. We thank you that we're able to come to you. We just ask that you would meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be focusing on prayer. So what's your prayer life like? I'm not going to do Sarah and ask for hands up or embarrass anybody. Do you struggle with time? Do you struggle with a wandering mind? Do you fall asleep? Do you stumble over what to say? And do you struggle when life's hard? Do you struggle to pray when life is hard? Then hey, welcome to the human race. I reckon we all find it hard to pray, don't we, if we're honest? So what should we do? Well, let's get some help. And it's great to have a prayer ministry team here at St. George's. A place where we can express our concerns and know that we're going to have people praying for us. And we personally have found that such a benefit. And it doesn't just happen on Sundays. It can happen throughout the week. So if something arises, you can contact us or Anne McClelland, who runs the prayer ministry team, who'll then mobilise the team to pray for you and your special need, your special request that's urgent. And there will be prayer immediately. So the prayer team is really good. And it's confidential. You don't need to go into the detail. You don't need to discuss anything, and it won't be shared. So it might be, could you just pray for my friend, Dave? Or there's somebody at church I know who's really going through the ringer. Would you pray for them? And that will happen. Just ask. And we've got the special service. Rob mentioned it in the notices. A special service at 6:30. A service of healing and prayer. That's been organised by the prayer ministry team too. So come along. Come along and seek God. Pray. I was recently asked for a decent book on prayers. And I sort of pondered for a moment, thought. And I thought, have you looked at the book of Psalms? The Psalms is God's prayer book to us. How to pray honestly to God. All the Psalms are prayers and songs that simply speak to the heart. So much of what we want to say to God, but find it hard to do it ourselves. And Psalm 116 is such a psalm. Such a psalm for me because at a stage in my life when things were a mess, God answered me and heard my cry, my weak, pathetic cry for help. Verse 1 there, can you see it? I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications, my cry for mercy. You see, this psalm is a response deep within the heart, a response of love for God because he listened and acted when in dire straits. Verse 2, because he inclined his ear to me. He inclined his ear to me. as if the person praying was hardly able to whisper, hardly able to whisper a prayer, such was their state. And it's at times like this, isn't it, that sometimes all we can pray is, help me. But the Lord is bending down over us to hear even those faintest whispers, those cries to God, and our cry is heard by him. Verse 3, the snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me, I suffered distress and anguish. You know, what horrors sometimes can encompass us, physical, maybe illness or of body, or mental, deep anxiety over circumstances we just can't control, or spiritual, when we just can't seem to sense the presence of God at all, or find him, we feel abandoned. So where do we go? Where do we go when all else seems lost? When life seems unbearable? You know, do we just bite our bottom lip and soldier on? Pretend all's well? Always look on the bright side of life? I get that a lot at funerals. Always look at the bright side of life. How do we deal with what life throws at us? I don't know if you remember the ad campaign by the humanists. They were so incensed with the Alpha Course advert. Is there more to life than this? And they came up with their own. Two sets of adverts on 30 London buses for 4 weeks. And what was the vital message that they wanted to get over to us all? It was this great profundity. There's probably not God. Now stop worrying about your life. Stop worrying and enjoy your life. How helpful. Do you know, it's little wonder there are very few atheist chaplains in our hospitals. How can I just stop worrying and enjoy life when I'm facing serious illness, death, a family crisis, or anxiety? Well, I was lent a lovely little book by somebody going through the ringer. And it was called North of Shadowlands, Letters from a Serious Illness by Derek Bingham. And he was a minister who'd been diagnosed with cancer and had only a few weeks to live. And he said of this advert that we see, there's probably no God, stop worrying and enjoy your life. If this were true, where would I go? I can't go outside my hospital. I can't go outside my hospital room. Where can I find enjoyment? Do you know it's utter rubbish to tell us to enjoy ourselves in such circumstances? In fact, it's downright cruel to say that to people who are up against it. You see, atheists have no hope to offer humanity when in great need. So where do we go? Well, we go to the living God. We turn to him in our distress and anguish. Look at verse 4. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Situations of great need, so drive us to God. Drive us to prayer. And in prayer we find that God answers. Verse 5. He meets our need. Gracious is the Lord. And righteous, God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Jesus restores us. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. He's the bread of life, that living water, that deep, refreshing source of true life that we can draw on in difficult times and still find peace and a hope for the future. You know, it's not some bland slogan, is it? Enjoy yourself or be happy. Because that's not real. It simply isn't real people's experience. People who are up against it. And Psalm 116's central paragraph there, verses 8 to 11. It's the kernel, if you like, of the psalm. In darkness, it's the centrality of faith in the living God that sustains us. Verse 8, for you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I keep my faith, or I believed, even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. Faith in our God makes everything new. What honesty from the writer of this psalm. What he's saying is, I've held on to faith, even though every hope seems to have gone and things are just so awful. And it's okay to pray like that, to express life like that when it's grim. It's not failure of faith, it's evidence of it. It's not a grim upper lip, stiff upper lip or pretense. It's open clarity of what it's really like before God. And our response to God, to the one who hears and answers, verse 12. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty? We'll keep on calling on him, verse 12. We'll rely on him more and more. We'll drink deeply of his cup of salvation. We'll commit our way to him and serve him in public too, and pay our vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, verse 14. Look at verse 15. It's absolutely beautiful. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. Yes, we're precious to God. But what this means is that at death, God bestows on us who believe in him something so very precious, like a precious, priceless jewel. Because at death, he receives those whom he loves and who love him. He receives them home. That's the Christian hope we have in Jesus. That's our Christian faith. Our faith in Jesus who gave all for us so that we can have that home with him. It's priceless. And the psalm finishes there with a commitment of verse 17. I will offer you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So let's come this morning, make our vows to God. Because in time of trouble he stood by us and will stand with us through it all. He promises to continue to, we promise to continue to walk the way of Jesus in the midst of darkness and difficulties. So prayer isn't just how we say it. It's being honest with God in the mess of life. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Amen.